We put up the bat call, the bat signal. We pointed it in the sky, aimed it towards the Pacific Northwest because we've got Jimmer Fredette. We've got Kelly Oubre out for the season. We've got a couple names being leaked on the GM search. And we need to check in with our own Kevin Pelton from ESPN. He is our NBA guy that we, in case of emergency, break glass, and we have broken the glass. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, that is a surprising amount of Suns news going on for the first day of the NCAA tournament.
I know. It's like, and the Jimmer thing, I mean, it's
just
like
blowing up.
It's like the gods conspired. I mean, seriously, Jimmer Fredette on the first day of the NCAA tournament signs in the NBA. You can't make this stuff up, Kev.
You really can't. Well scripted by the Suns.
So what kind of impact do you think he can have?
You know, I mean, I think that it's going to be an interesting transition for him. In many ways, playing in China made a lot of sense for Jimmer because, you know, as we know, dating back to his BYU days, his best skill is creating a lot of shots, and that's not usually what NBA teams are looking for in their role players. You know, they're looking for someone who can come in and fill in around the guys who create a lot of shots, you know, Devin Booker, most notably in the Suns' case. So, you know, I think he's going to have to show that he can knock down, catch, and shoot threes, run the offense a little bit, and I think those are the skills the Suns will be looking for to, you know, see whether he is, in fact, a keeper.
I spoke with a bunch of NBA executives on, he could still shoot. He's still a great shooter. You could put a blindfold on him. He could still knock down shots. The defense was always an issue. I think the question now is expectations. When he was the 10th pick in the draft, the expectations were different than they would be now as a 30-year-old. I'm thinking 15 minutes a game, be an eighth or ninth guy off the bench. Do you think he could last a few years in the league in that role?
I think it's possible. You know, I mean, again, the question is, you know, whether he can be effective in that role as much as he can be with the ball in his hands, with the offense really kind of revolving around him, because he was always more of a shooter off the dribble than a catch and shoot guy. Now, you know, one thing that has changed in his benefit now is it's much more common to see, NBA ball handlers shoot the off the dribble three. James Harden, most notably, Steph Curry, you know, popularized that before him, Damian Lillard, all sorts of guys. You know, he's not at their level as a pick and roll player, but in terms of pulling up from deep, well beyond the arc, if Igor Kokoshkov gives him the green light to do so, that can certainly be something that, you know, is a more valuable part of his skill set now than the last time he played in the league.
So you're saying off the dribble could be the way he kind of butters his bread, so to speak, this time around in the NBA?
Yeah, it's his relatively best skill, I would say. You know, he's not as exceptional a catch and shooter.
Kevin Pelton from ESPN, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Jimmer Fredette. Gambo was the first report signing what is basically a two-year contract with the Suns, a contract for the rest of the season, and then a team option for next year, kind of 10 games to prove himself. In part, it comes with the news that Kelly Oubre needs surgery on his thumb, a minor procedure, but one that is going to cost him the rest of the season. We were kind of the mindset on this show that Kelly Oubre had done so much in his time here that he was almost a must-keep for the Suns at this point going into restricted free agency. What sort of offers do you anticipate Kelly Oubre getting going into restricted free agency?
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. I mean, restricted free agency has a tendency to go, you know, two different ways. There's the one scenario where a team really prioritizes trying to take the player away and make it painful for the original team to match, and then it ends up, you know, being a pretty good contract for Oubre. And the other one is, you know, you kind of languish on the market, and it's just a situation of trying to use the leverage of taking that one-year qualifying offer to get a larger long-term deal out of the team. I mean, I think realistically with Oubre, we're probably talking around the full mid-level exception, you know, somewhere in the range of 9 to 10 million a year is probably his market. I don't see teams, you know, dipping deep into their cap space to get him, but he's, you know, certainly shown something during his time in Phoenix, the best stretch of his NBA career, and carved out a sizable role despite, you know, my concern when they picked him up is, well, why do they need another wing when they already have, you know, all these young players on the wing? But he's proven that, you know, he can be as good as just about anybody outside of Devin Booker in that group.
Can I sign that right now, $9 to $10 million a year? Because we're expecting a lot more. I mean, I'm thinking it could get to 15, maybe even higher. We'll see. I think he's going to be highly sought after. If they could get him for 9 to 10, I think that'd be a steal. But I do think they're going to have to move one of their wings, if not two of them. TJ Warren could be a really good bench guy for somebody, and Josh Jackson still has, you know, some value in this league. They'll build around Oubre and Mikal Bridges, who they really like. They're going to try to get a power forward like Tobias Harris, but what do you think the market is for TJ Warren, Josh Jackson? Do you think it would be robust, or is it going to be hard to move those guys?
You know, Warren, I think it's a tough break that he's been out for such a long period of time, because, you know, he was playing well before that. It had shown improved range and all of that. I think, you know, it makes him attractive as a sixth man to a lot of teams. Jackson, you know, the upside here is all it takes is one or two teams to really believe in him. I think there's probably a wide variety of, you know, opinion around the league that, you know, some people don't believe he can ever be an efficient scorer, and that, you know, he needs the ball in his hands too much because of the fact that he has not been a great catch and shoot guy. And as a result, they wouldn't be that interested. But I think there are some teams that, you know, really liked him going into the draft, still think he has that potential, and probably, if we're being quite frank, think, you know, hey, we can get more out of him than Phoenix was able to because of the fact that, you know, they didn't have necessarily the playmaking or the infrastructure around him.
I you know what? I'm glad you mentioned that, because that thought's been kind of bubbling in the back of my head. Kevin Pelton, NBA insider from ESPN, our guest here in the Burns and Gambo show. I do wonder if Josh Jackson is one of those guys, and we've seen plenty of them around here, who, when they get into a more stable situation, a situation where, you know, kind of the basketball X's and O's and the front office and everything is just a little more organized and orderly, I wonder if Josh Jackson is the kind of player who can really find himself somewhere else if he gets better coaching and just kind of has a better infrastructure around him.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. I mean, look, you know, he was the fourth pick in the draft for a reason, and, you know, a coveted trade, you know, trade up potential ahead of that, you know, and teams, I don't think, are going to, after 2 years, just completely rule that out, especially because we have seen flashes of him playing at that level. It's just been about his ability to do it on a consistent basis.
We've seen Mark Stein's reporting the Suns are looking for a new executive. Kevin McHale's name has come up. I think Paxson's name has come up. I know they've interviewed over seven or eight people. So they're into the interview process right now. Would Mikal be a good fit? Would Paxson be a good fit, in your opinion?
You know, it's been so long since we've seen Paxson in that lead executive role that it's really tough for me to say with him. Mikal, I think, you know, maybe somewhat underrated as a GM, but, you know, the question is he going to be committed at this stage of his career to really going out and, you know, scouring the earth looking for players? That's always, I think, one of the key elements that distinguishes the former players who are successful in that role from the ones who are less successful. And, you know, it's been now over a decade, I think, since he was, you know, or close to that, since he was running the show in Minnesota. And, you know, the league has advanced a great deal in that time. I mean, he's been involved, was on the sidelines in Houston, but, you know, not necessarily in the front office, as we saw the evolution of, you know, analytics staffs, which, again, he would have been exposed to in Houston, and then also kind of the increasing complexity of how teams manage the cap. So, you know, those are the questions that if I were interviewing Kevin Mikal for this position, I would want him to answer.
Okay, good stuff. Kevin, we appreciate the time, as always. Thanks for joining us. Back to the tournament games, okay?
Yeah, thanks for having me.